Good morning, everybody. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, brought to you each and every weekday morning by Harvest Ridge Coffee from Refreshment Services Pepsi. Why do I love Harvest Ridge? Well, I tell you, I'm kind of a coffee snob. I didn't used to be, but now life is too short to drink bad coffee, and I love beans that are hand-roasted. You know, sometimes you get burnt beans, yucko. That makes your coffee taste terrible. You're not going to get that when you buy Harvest Ridge Coffee. They've got all kinds of blends. We just use a signature blend, the house roast here at the Radio Ranch, kind of one size fits all. But you can get Highlander Grog, Extreme Blend, Kona Blend, Colombian Supreme. You can even get decaf, but I don't understand why, but you can do that. It can be delivered fresh to your office place. You can purchase it and bring it home to your home, or you can stop by any of the local convenience stores that sell Harvest Ridge Coffee and support Pepsi products, which do so much for our community, including having Pepsi Arena at Quincy University. And my guest today knows a little bit about that. Justin Ray is the Dean of Admissions at Quincy University. And we're so glad to have you on today. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Mary.
Tell us about yourself. You've been a guest before, but I can't remember all the personal details of your life. We don't need to know your shoe size or anything like that, but whatever you would like to share.
Absolutely. Well, again, thank you so much for having us here today. Yes, I'm the Dean of Admissions with Quincy University. I am a QU grad, 2010, and I came back mid-2010 and started working for the university. I've been about 10 years in the admissions department. Loved every minute of it, and unless they have other plans, I'd love to stay there the rest of my career.
Well, I have Dr. on the phone. No. You know, this has been a tough year for admission staff because that FAFSA, that federal aid form, was so late. You know, I mean, kudos to the Biden administration for trying to make it easier, but no government entity ever made anything easier and got it done on time. So it was a big cluster. We'll admit it.
Yeah.
It's fixed now, but unfortunately it's October.
Yeah.
And school started in late August, early September. So fortunately, it really didn't crash admissions at QU, and I don't think it did at Culver either.
No, then thank God. So in spite of everything that happened, we worked diligently with our student financial services office to make preparations to support families through the process. We installed what we called an estimated financial aid calculator that families could use to get an estimate of what they might qualify for while they waited to fill out the FAFSA. And we were diligent once we did have financial aid offers to process those and get those packages out to families and work through. And that's one thing about our university. We work with each family individually to discuss their aid questions and help them figure out the affordability.
Now, I went to the University of Illinois, and I love that school. But they didn't give a rat's butt about it. You can't have a freshman class of 8,000 and get personal service. You know, and so I think that I wanted to go to a big school. I wanted to be thrown into the shark tank. I wanted it. I maybe didn't want it after 6 months, but I stayed. You know, I actually graduated early, got out in 3 years. You know, I had a good college experience, but certainly very different than the one my mother and her sisters and her brother had going to Quincy University. And, you know, this is not a paid ad for Quincy University, but we have a lot to offer here at this smaller school. And one of the things that I think parents are turned off by because they don't have the education that they need to make an informed decision is they see Quincy University, private Franciscan college. They may have gone online and see what tuition is if you're coming from China or something, you know, and you're paying the full freight. They're like, no way. But you've got some special programs at QU to help it be affordable, and you've got a little seminar for parents, College 101.
Yes, we do.
And so you're going to teach these parents. Right now, if you've got a sophomore, junior, it's probably senior especially. Yeah. It's not, you know, sophomore's probably not too early, and junior and senior right in the wheelhouse of going to College 101 because you're going to learn a lot about how to visit a college campus, whether it's QU or another campus, what to look for. And then, how are you going to pay for all this?
Exactly.
And that's what College 101 is all about. The kids want to know, certain things. The parents want to know certain things. Those two things are not always the same thing. So,
exactly.
You know, parents, your kids come home and say, I want to go here and I want to go here because. Okay. Are you going to look anywhere else? Are we going to be able to afford it? So walk us through without giving us the entire College 101. But it's at 6 o'clock on Monday night, October 14th at Francis Hall. That's the big main campus. There's a lovely McHugh Theater downstairs. A lot of it will take place down there. And you're just going to talk. The Dean of Admissions, Justin Ray, will be there. Enrollment Management, Tom Oliver, Vice President, will be there. How to get started on the admissions process, how to afford college, and then, you know, why should your student go to college? Because it's not for everyone.
It's not
and parents
for
have to make that decision.
And that's one thing that we'll talk about is that there are a lot of routes that students can go once they finish high school. They could go into a vocation. They could go into an apprenticeship. You know, they could join the armed forces. They could join the Peace Corps. That is not an exhaustive list.
No, and we're having a big festival here in Quincy on the 18th where high school students from all over Missouri and Illinois are coming here, and they're going to visit, not every one of them, but two dozen businesses, factories, and manufacturing will say, you can graduate from college, come to our school, or come to our workplace, we'll train you on the job, and you can have a head-of-household job within 2 or 3 years. But a lot of times they realize after they get on the job that they need more training, and that's where local Quincy University and John Wood and other places come in. So just because you don't go to college when you're 18 doesn't mean you'll never go to college.
No, very true,
yeah.
Very true.
So what do we learn about the admissions process? Because I remember my parents, or my father mostly, dragging me around, you know, to places I wanted to go to school. And my favorite story of that is my mother and father and my brother and I are up at Northwestern University. We're down at the lake, and my mother goes, what is that funny smell? There's a funny smell. Something's burning. It was a big marijuana party going on at the lake.
Oh, no.
I didn't inform my mother that I was aware of what that was, but I think if I'd have told her, definitely Northwestern was not my choice,
yeah.
And it wouldn't have been my parents' choice either. So, I mean, my mother, when I went to college, said, well, don't you have to wear your beanie and be in by 9 p.m.? And I said, Mom, it's not Quincy University in the 1950s.
Yeah.
But let's move on with our conversation.
Things have changed a little bit.
So let's talk about helping parents decide what's the right fit for their kid and admissions.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we've noticed over the course of especially the last several years, more and more parents are, of course, involved in their students, their process, their decision making. In some instances, because they are paying for it, yes. But also, in some instances, we never hear from the student. In some instances, we only talk to mom or dad, which is lovely. But With this opportunity,
you're going to QU, and that's that.
We want to be able to let parents know how they can support their student through this process. What are some things that they may not realize? What are we hearing from students they may not want to share with their parents about what is involved and where they want to go and why they want to go there? And also for those folks that your student is MIA and you're kind of holding in all the reins, how do you tackle all of this and be able to manage it efficiently and timely?
You know, not every school is right for every person. You
no,
would say
agreed.
That even as admission counselor at QU. You know, QU, for example, has a wonderful music, you know, program, for example.
Absolutely.
And they offer some even graduate degrees. But there are some things that you would have to say, well, no, if you really want that kind of education, you might want to go see this school, whether a private school or a public school. So part of it is really understanding not only if a class is offered, but if it's a strength of
exactly.
that university. I mean, yeah, every university will offer some kind of chemistry course, but if your kid wants to be a doctor, you want to make sure you go someplace where the pre-med, like at QU, is established enough and recognized enough that it's not going to hinder them from getting into a medical school when they graduate. Not everything is right for every kid.
No.
And certainly a small, and even though you don't have to be Catholic to go there, the Franciscan way of life is indoctrinated. That's why I have two friends that are Franciscan Jews. They are Jews who embrace the way of St. Francis because it's a way of living that's kind of indoctrinated into the students. So that's something important to know. You're going to have a very different experience at a state school than you are at a small private, especially a religious institution.
Of course, of course.
And how hard it, you know, that's the other thing. some schools are very restrictive. Harvard, University of Illinois, University of Michigan, you know, these are hard schools to get into. They don't have enough room for all the people that want to go to school there, so they have to be very selective in who they take. Smaller schools are usually not that way, so you have a better chance of getting in, and you might have a better chance of excelling and being in a leadership role.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one thing I wanted to mention about this, too, is that this, of course, you know, there will be QU examples in this event. This is not a go QU or bust
right.
event.
It's not.
This,
it's for parents
this,
to talk about
yes,
going to college.
This is talking
yeah.
about the process, talking about affordability across the board, whether that's FAFSA, scholarships, you know, looking at state and federal funding available through FAFSA. So this is as general as it is connected with the university.
One of the problems we have is when parents have not been to college themselves. And we still find a group of children that are graduating today from high school whose parents have no high school experience, or I mean no college experience. My mother went to QU. My dad went to the University of Southern California and Michigan State. So, you know, my dad wasn't intimidated when he took me for a U of I visit because we'd been over there many times to watch Michigan State play football. We had to root for Michigan State, mm-hmm. of course. And the same way with Mizzou and a few other Northwestern and a few other big campuses I visited, it wasn't especially daunting to my parents because they kind of had some comprehension of what college life was about and how big campuses work. But for some parents who never went to college themselves, their dream is for their kids to do better than they did. But they're kind of intimidated. So what are some, give me the top three questions a parent should ask about college. You know, if they're trying to help their kid decide where they're trying to go to college.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned a moment ago the perfect fit. Well, there's a lot involved in that, and that goes beyond major or sport team or extracurriculars. That goes into the teaching model. You know, is this a school where your student is going to just sit in a classroom and have information fed at them for 50 or 75 minutes? Or is it more conversational and more interactive? Are you actually connecting with the students that are in your classroom? Secondly, affordability. I think sometimes people are embarrassed or scared or just assume that there isn't going to be funding available for them, or only students with 4.0s qualify for scholarships. I think there's a big misconception. You also mentioned a moment ago with private education. There is a huge misconception out there. In fact, we still get it every day. We go to the grocery store and someone says, oh, you're still at QU. Yeah, my grandson or my niece couldn't go there because it was too expensive. There's an incredible amount of funding out there, not just from institutions, but also from third parties, from organizations that give thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in third-party scholarships every year. And so funding and also fit are probably the two biggest things that we're going to focus on.
Yeah. Fit for the student
yep.
and funding. Now, QU has, I don't know if it's unique, but they don't offer it at the University of Illinois, I guarantee you that, where let's say your kid really wants to go to QU, and they've got a FAFSA grant, and they've got a Pell grant. You know, they've got three or four different scholarships.
Yeah.
QU will take all that package and will try to make a way so that that package fills the entire run. I mean, in other words, you can't just show up with zero. You got to do some effort to get some extra outside help. But would it be wrong to say there's really no set tuition at QU? You are going to make it fit the child's financial ability to do it.
We do our very best. Absolutely. And so, yes, so there is what we call a sticker price at the end of the day. Tuition is all-inclusive. It includes your books and most general fees. That said, every student that we admit to the university does earn an academic scholarship. Beyond that, we have other scholarship opportunities that we try to work with students to see, is this a good fit? Is this a good fit? And, of course, we look through the FAFSA, we look at their financial aid eligibility from the state, the federal government, and so we meet every dollar of need that we possibly can.
And
so that everybody's price is going to be a little different.
It is not impossible to go to a small private school, QU or another one. If you really have your heart set on going there, these admission counselors, listen, the number of 18-year-olds is dropping. They're anxious for you to come to their school. I mean, you are in a more competitive environment than you've ever been in 10 years that you've been holding this job, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they want you to come to the school.
Absolutely.
Don't think that, well, you know, I want to go there, but they don't want me. No, they want you.
And
they
in
want
fact,
you.
All of you Illinois residents, listen up. So about a year ago, we instituted what we call the Illinois Tuition Promise. So students who qualify for full MAP grant and full Pell grant, you ultimately don't pay any tuition with us for 4 years. So again, Illinois residents, you qualify for Illinois MAP grant, you qualify for the full Pell grant, you're not going to end up paying any tuition for 4 years. And for most programs, that also includes your books.
And that is just fantastic. And so folks, this is what College 101 is all about. It is Monday night, October 14th at 6 o'clock. Parents, do yourself a favor. Go spend 2 hours. Your child may have no desire, and you may have no desire for your child to go to QU. That's not what this is about. This is a public service offered by Quincy University so that people that live here can learn a little bit. You may decide that QU is a good fit. You know, about a third now of all of our high school graduates in Western Illinois go to John Wood, and a natural transfer portal right there is right back to QU. So there's just so many, you know, great things that are going on that, and I mentioned, you know, what full tuition would be. Right now, this may be a factoid you didn't know, sir, but 15% of the students at the University of Illinois are from China.
Really?
Do you know why they're from China? They don't get any special grants or anything to come.
Yep.
They have to pay full freight. And the University of Illinois, being state-funded and the state doesn't have any money, they're looking for full freight tuition. So, you know, don't worry about what the tuition is at the University of Illinois unless you're a Chinese national, because you're not going to be paying that. There'll be some way they'll give you some kind of help. Almost any school will give you some kind of help because, let's face it, if you're smart and you're successful, you'll give to their alumni campaign for years to come.
There you go.
So, you know, it's a game we're all playing, isn't it, in a way?
A little bit.
Yeah. What is the enrollment this year at QU?
Yes. So it is around 1,200.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Now, do you anticipate that will go up in January? Because some kids did sit out this fall. They did.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
And so you're probably anticipating you're going to, instead of a downward thing in January where some kids say, oh, I can't make it in college, or I got to take some time off to rethink my maturity level, you may actually get a bump in January.
No, I agree. There were a lot of students that sat out. There were also a number of students who they were ready to transfer, and they sat out because they weren't quite ready yet. FAFSA wasn't ready for them, so they didn't want to jump into anything too hastily. So yes, spring application is live. We continue to see those come in, and a lot of folks, it's because A, they weren't ready yet in the fall, or B, they tried something out, it didn't work, and they want to come back home. We see a lot of that, too.
Absolutely.
And we welcome you with open arms. Come on back.
Well, I tell you what, here's my freshman orientation at the University of Illinois. This will frighten anybody who ever went to QU. Not all 8,000 of us went to it. Believe it or not, some of us skipped it, but I went because I was a good little Catholic girl from Notre Dame. When the president was going to address the freshman class, we went. So we're all gathered. I mean, thousands of us are gathered outdoors on the quad, and this little bitty speck of a man is up there. Stanley Eikenberry is up there talking to us, and he said, I want you to look to your left, and I want you to look to your right. He said, of the three people, you and the two people on either side, one of you is not going to be here in January. We don't have room for you. We don't have time for you. We don't have space for you. We're going to flunk a third of you. And we're just like, welcome to the university. But, you know, it was good that he said that because it made the people who really were interested stay.
Yeah.
You know, but I was thinking, this doesn't seem fair, but it is true. They know they're going to have some attrition, so they load their freshman class. And that it's survival of the fittest. And, you know,
that's one way to do it.
That is one way to do it.
Oh, my gosh.
Not the way. If your kid can't survive that, and I wasn't very tough, but I managed to make it.
Yeah.
But if your kid can't survive that, seriously, ask questions about, I'd like my kid to go to Harvard, or I'd like my kid to go to Illinois or Michigan or Northwestern or Mizzou. But would it be better?
Yeah,
if
it looks
they swam
great on
a
resume.
In a,
you know, it's lovely having that little piece of paper in a frame on your wall for all time. At the same time, you know, every person is different. And do they have the stamina for that? You know, do they even want that? That's the thing, too, is that parents and students have to realize, okay, what does the other want, and where can we compromise, and what's our end all goal here, and is school X better than school Y getting me to that goal?
I used to always tease my brother because he went to Illinois State, And I said, have you noticed that mom and dad never come and visit you? Because my dad wanted to come every football weekend over to see Big Ten football. Yeah. Whether his daughter went to school, there was just a, you know, So,
hi, honey, time to go to the game.
So parents, if your kids are talking about what fraternity they want to pledge, what party they want to go to, and how good the football team is, those are all fun things. But if you're going to be paying $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, maybe up to $100,000 to get them through a four-year college, you might want to look at perhaps what the academic curriculum is all about. Just a little insight here from the Director of Admissions, Justin Ray, and college graduate Mary Griffin. Yeah, because I wanted to go see all the sorority houses and everything, and my dad's like, shouldn't we look at the College of Journalism first? Oh, Dad.
I'm sure it's fine.
I'm sure it's fine, yeah. Thank you so much. So again, if people want to come, you want them to pre-register because So what did you do? Just call QU?
They can call us and we can point them to the way, or they can visit our website, quincy.edu. You'll see the visit tab. It's right there, College 101. Click on the sign up button. You'll fill out the form. Easy as pie.
Okay. There's also a music visit day at QU Monday, October 14th from 9 to 2 at the Connie Nieman Center for Music for high school students and their families. So again, music is a big curriculum at QU.
Absolutely.
So if that's something you're interested in, check that out as well. It's so nice to have you back.
Thank you so much. It's always good to be
Thank
here.
Thank you for letting me share my horror story. I mean, I'm not trying to discourage people from going there. I loved it. But, you know, that's a different experience. Coming from a graduating class of 147 to a freshman class of 8,000 where you're told, a third of you are useless to us. You're dead to me after January. Thank you. But the good news is I made it and I got to go to the Rose Bowl and President Eikenberry was there and I informed him. I said, I just want you to know I took your message to heart and I studied hard.
And here she is.
And
folks,
here I am today. Couldn't care less. Can't remember a damn thing I learned, but I'm here at the Rose Bowl game. That's all I care about. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
We're
going
to head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative Bear DeKalb Askro bring you this report. And then we're going to hear about the historic Quincy Preserves home tour. Stay tuned. Well, we certainly are looking forward to Frank Furr speaking in Quincy that evening. I believe that is October 19th, I think they said. That's also the day of the Quincy Preserves home tour. And Hollis Axelrod is here. She is one of the chairmen of this year's event. And I'm always amazed at how Quincy Preserves gets private homeowners to open their homes to people and let them come and see the beautiful architecture that is Quincy. So welcome very much to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a minute. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while. We see each other about every year or every other year.
Yes.
But this year, you have some really remarkable homes on the tour. It is October 19th. That's Saturday. That is a busy Saturday. That's Marching Band Festival. That's the Sounds of Motown. That's Tin Dusters. But you can always fit in from between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. in our beautiful historic Quincy. You can always fit in a chance to see some of these remarkable homes and their beautiful architecture. So let's talk about the homes and their addresses and a little bit about each one, if you don't mind.
Okay, so this year we're hoping for really, really good weather, a nice, crisp, sunny day, because actually all of these homes are walking distance if it's a nice day. So we have two on East Avenue, and the first one is 129 East Avenue, and the architecture style is prairie. And it's when you arrive, the docents will greet you and they'll tell you family stories and who was the first homeowners, and they'll talk about the prairie style features, which are quite impressive.
And prairie style is kind of Frank Lloyd Wright-ish.
It is.
Right. Now, Frank Lloyd Wright never designed a home in Quincy, but his he had apprentices
yes.
who designed homes in Quincy.
Yes,
so
quite a few.
We don't have an actual Frank Lloyd Wright home here, but we have some homes that you would look at them and say,
yes.
that's a Frank Lloyd Wright home.
Yes.
Yeah.
This architect, his name was Ernest Wood. So that's the first house on East Avenue. And then the next one is
right next door. Yeah.
Yeah, right next door. And the address is 133 East Avenue, built in 1892. The architect's style is called shingle, which I learned something new. I had no idea shingle was a style. But when you walk up to the house, you'll see lots of shingles. Beautiful. It's just nestled gracefully on that street. And once again, the docents will greet you and they'll tell you the family history of the first owners. They'll go into how, unfortunately, after 4 years, this house had a fire, and they 7 years later, they rebuilt it. So we're kind of labeling this like a phoenix rising from the ashes. And I forgot to mention, the first home on East Avenue was built in 1912. So this one was built in 1892 and a little older. We have two houses on Jersey, and once again, walking distance. 2107 Jersey, the house was built in 1919. It's another prairie style. So you're going to feel, once again, like it's a
Frank Lloyd Wright
yes.
inspired. Is
inspired.
It also an Ernest Wood house?
It's not.
It's George Barensmeyer?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you're so smart.
Hey, it's not my first rodeo with Quincy Preserves. I don't know any of this by my own self, but just by absorbing from the people I know in Quincy Preserves, it's fascinating
yeah.
our history here.
We're
yeah.
so lucky to get these homes this year.
Yes.
The next one on Jersey is 1624 Jersey, built in 1888, and it's a Queen Anne. And if you know anything about Queen Anne, the details are just amazing. And once again, the docents can't wait to tell you family history, stories about the architect, and the architecture of the home. And it is just absolutely beautiful. The last home that has a resident living inside is on 18th Street, 196 South 18th Street. And this house was also built in 1888. And it's just a beautiful home. Right now, there's a doctor that lives in it. And our last house is the Lorenzo Bull, which I feel is the centerpiece of Main Street. Although no one lives in it, we love to give tours. And if you haven't seen the inside, this is the day to do it, because I'm on the Lorenzo Bull board, and we unfortunately don't have set tour hours. So if you haven't seen it, this is a good day to come and see. This house was built in 1850. The Bulls lived in it for over 50 years. They raised many, many children in that home. And we just, the board, we're a hardworking board, and we...
but you get compensated so
we
lavishly.
Do. Well, we are in partnership with the Park District. We're very, very lucky.
I'm teasing because she gets no money.
Right.
To be honest.
I've asked for a raise, but it's just not happening.
They doubled your salary from zero to double zero.
Exactly.
But what you guys have done, I was just at the park board meeting last night, and the Lorenzo Bull House, it's a partnership now with the
yes.
Park District. The Park District owns it. It is a park. You can rent it. You can go there, not anytime you want, but you can go there and you can rent it, and there are special things that go on. But if you just want to see the house,
this is a good day.
This is a good day to go see it. And I know they just approved last night to fix the roof on the west side.
Yes,
so you'll
they've
be
been
happy
working
to know.
On it. They've been working
well,
on it.
Well, every time they start to fix something, guess what?
Something
Hollis,
has happened.
They found something.
Yeah.
So that while we were redoing the porch, we found a
right.
hole in the roof.
Yes.
So last night the Park District agreed to pay for that. So it's very much a partnership between this private foundation that helps, the Lorenzo
mm-hmm.
Bull House, and the Park District. But Quincy Preserves has this overarching kind of mission in our community to protect and preserve the historic architecture of
yes.
our area.
Wonderful, yeah. wonderful group.
Now, of course, it costs money to go through these homes, but you're going to see five homes for $25 if you walk up the day of the tour, but you can get it cheaper if you buy in advance. So how do we get the $20 ticket?
Okay, so we have three locations. We have Curlin's, and they're in a new spot. And then we have Emerald Jewelers. And then we have Udry Jewelry right here on Main and 6th. So you could get your tickets at all three locations or the day of.
Okay, so stop at 6th and Main at Udry, stop at 20th and Main at Emerald City Jewelers, or go out to the new Prairie Crossing,
yes,
where Curlin's has relocated, and you can buy your tickets there for $20. It doesn't matter which one you start at. If you don't have time, you may have to prioritize your time. But if you buy tickets the day of, you must buy them at the Lorenzo Bullhouse.
Yes.
That's the only place that they'll be selling tickets.
Yes, we'll
tickets
have a tent there.
A tent there. Now, some people in the past have said, wow, the wait lines are a little bit annoying. But again, when else are you going to get to see these houses unless you know the people that live there and invited for party? Is there a strategy? Is getting there at 9 and picking, I mean, what's your strategy? You've been around the block. What's your strategy for seeing all five?
Well, my strategy is, first of all, I started with many meetings with my docents. And I know they have so much to say. These docents are talkers, but I have asked them to keep their little monologues, you know, under 3 minutes. And if they can do that, there should be no problem getting through all five houses and then the Lorenzo Bull. My strategy is just keep moving. You're going to have the option of putting booties on. We're really hoping for a sunny day. I have Googled the weather, and it's supposed to be sunny and low 70s. But if the homeowner prefers you to wear booties, we're going to ask you to put the booties on at your first house. And then when you exit, take the booties with you. And those will be your booties for the whole tour.
Because it's a walking tour.
Yes.
Folks.
My partner, William, thought of that one. I can't take credit.
Brilliant.
Yes.
That is brilliant. Yeah, you're right. Okay, the Lorenzo Bull House, 1550 Main Street, 196 South 18th. 1624 Jersey, 2107 Jersey, 129 East Avenue, 133 East Avenue, and you can take a break and watch the parade go by because it'll sometime during the 9 to 3, about
yes,
1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the parade will go by. So, folks, get your tickets now at Udry Jewelry, Emerald City Jewelry, or Curlin's, or that day for $25. Walk up to the Lorenzo Bull House at 1550 Main. We're out of time. Okay, go ahead. One more thing.
Can I just say one more thing? The Park District is going to be dropping off stadium seating in front of the Lorenzo Bull House, so you might want to sit there and watch the parade at our front lawn.
Oh, my goodness.
How's that?
I think that's pretty darn fabulous. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's so good being here.